Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast Monday Night Learning Center, a.k.a. Monday Night Raw, where we go ahead and dig deep into the raw word. We are so glad that you are all here with us tonight, and we're excited to get this call started as we continue our topic on building blocks versus stumbling blocks. So let's go ahead and introduce our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr.
Good evening, Anna.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Doing fabulous, thank you.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I do hope that everybody has had the opportunity to listen to some of the calls this week. If you haven't, please go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org and check us out. Okay? It's nothing fancy dancy that we do, but it is something that's very informative. And I just wholeheartedly believe that God will bless you. I believe that, you know, the Bible clearly tells us, you know, that, you know, he says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And I believe that G.I. Joe said it best, knowing is half the battle.
All right.
The other half of that is when you apply what you've obtained. Okay? So with that being said, this whole week we have been discussing building blocks versus stumbling blocks. Okay? So building blocks versus stumbling blocks. And all of us have experienced those in our lives. It's based on perception, how you perceive it, how you take it. But when God is in the midst, I guarantee, he says, count it all joy. That means everything works in your favor.
Amen.
It works in your Amen. Favor. All right? So, let us get started with the call. This is the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Monday Night Raw. You can also call it the Learning Center. Okay? So, we're going to get started with prayer, Ms. Tiana, and then we're going to go ahead and get it kicked off.
All right. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to continue to serve you, to worship you, dear Lord. And we're grateful for this gift that you've given us with Sunday Morning Breakfast and the means, Heavenly Father, for us to fellowship. No matter where we are in this world, Heavenly Father, we get to come and share with one another and share and celebrate you. Heavenly Father, as we continue this journey on stumbling blocks versus building blocks, dear Lord, Heavenly Father, may we continue to see every obstacle as a building block, no matter what it is. And may we use that to lift you up, dear Lord. Use that to lift others up, Heavenly Father. Use it as a means to obtain your purpose in our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Amen. So with that being said, y'all know how we do it on the Monday Night Raw. We always have our stay-in main man, Mr. DJ, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. DJ, how are you?
Mr. Carr, Mr. DJ is not quite here as yet.
Oh, well, he must be on that plane traveling.
Yes,
DJ
sir.
Must be traveling tonight. Okay, well, we'll get DJ on the line, but we also always invite a special guest. And tonight we have with us, who we have with us, Ms. Tina?
We have the one and only Miss LaTanya.
Miss LaTanya Rubisky. Miss LaTanya, how are you?
I am doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing wonderful. So I'm going to let you give us a little synopsis of this past week briefly, if you don't mind. So kind of sum it up, you know, in your words.
So, we've been talking about building blocks versus stumbling blocks. And I would have to say, in summing it up, that it's important as we've talked about all this past week and a lot of times in the past, it's very important for us to keep our focus on God, because when we don't, this is when we begin to stumble. We have things that will come up that will get in our way that causes us to trip and fall, and it keeps us distracted, if you will. So a lot of times we get distracted, and it's hard for us to get back on track because we tend to focus on the things that trip us up, the things that the world presents us with. So that was one of the things that really stood out. And just also talking about how, you know, it's important to be surrounded by and fellowship with people that are actually going to cause us to get to the next level in God. So a lot of times, you know, we're in situations or surrounded by people that, as we talked about, cause us to remain complacent or in that comfortable place. And it's important that we learn how to step outside of the box and, you know, step out on faith, as we've, you know, also talked about a lot in the past, and allow for, you know, people who are like-minded in a spiritual sense to, you know, lift us up, elevate us, you know, to be that building block for us. And we also talked a lot about having a good, solid, and sturdy foundation. So, again, going back to our faith, you know, these things are building blocks that allow us to get to that next level in Christ. Now, I will say that a lot of times the stumbling blocks are allowed by God to elevate us. So I know that may be, you know, sounding contradictory, but it's, you know, it's all about perception in a sense. So we have to begin and learn to see things in the way that God sees it, you know, the way that he puts it there, and the way that he wants it, you know, to happen for us. So
okay,
that's what, you know, this past week has been about.
Okay, good deal, good deal. So that's what we're talking about this whole week, y'all, building blocks versus stumbling blocks. Miss Tiana, is Mr. DJ there?
Not yet, sir.
Okay, not a problem. So we're going to get going. Y'all know what we do. Now, if ever you have any email question, okay, any scripture you want to share, anything, make sure y'all write this number down, 504-231-7849. Again, it's 504-231-7849. And we will immediately get you on the call, or better yet, text that number, and I'll share the email question or the text messaging question that you may have. Okay? So, again, it's 504-231-7849. So, here we go. Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Right. So, Miss Tiana, it's going to be you and Miss Latonya. So, let's get at it.
Oh,
so,
Mr. Carmen,
I'm sorry.
Mr. DJ has arrived.
Mr. DJ, you may not come when you want him, but he on time, huh?
awesome.
And the DJ came in like Superman. So, y'all know it. Mr. DJ, you want to tell everybody where you're from?
Atlanta, GA.
All right. So he always repping the A, and y'all, we're going to have a good time tonight so we can actually go ahead and, you know, get some things answered. So let's start with some of these email questions that we have. Here we go, Mr. DJ. I'm going to start with our guest. Okay, Ms. Latonya, are you ready?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, here's the first question. It says, I'm an abused woman, and I've been through some rough times. I want to believe that I can still move forward and achieve greatness, but I take one step forward, and something else gets me down. What can I do to overcome this?
Okay. The way that I would answer that is, first and foremost, we always say this, and not to go over people's heads, but to stay consistent in prayer, because prayer is, you know, our communication line with God. So always keep that line of communication open with God, because he'll reveal things to you when you least expect. So even in those periods of doubt, uncertainty, hopelessness, things like that, you know, God will present you with a friend that'll encourage you. But I would also say to continue pressing forward, and also to surround yourself with people that are going to help to lift you up out of, you know, whatever you're going through, the situation of, you know, feeling hopeless, like you're taking steps back versus making progress. So that could be just a prayer group. It just could be, you know, your circle of friends, people that are, you know, going to encourage you and continue, you know, to help you to, you know, continue making steps forward. Don't surround yourself with negativity, you know, because that can be a big hindrance and cause you to stay in the place where you are. So that's what I would say, is just to continue to pray, but also just, you know, look at your surrounding, you know, to where you can, you know, put yourself in a position where you can be, you know, lifted up and encouraged.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what about you?
I basically agree with her. You need to not let that be a stumbling block, but make it more so your stepping stone. Definitely change your surrounding. If you're an abused woman, people may not agree with me, but I say, why? Why were you abused? Was it because you didn't do something that someone else wanted you to do, or you just allowed yourself to be mistreated? What was it? And once you pinpoint that, you'll get to know several things better about yourself, and you can use that to turn it around and never let that happen again. Change your social environment. If you're a headstrong kind of person, then you probably don't need to be around another headstrong person. I mean, people often say opposites attract, but just socially, definitely opposites attract. I mean, so I'm not saying you have to be around a very, very weak person, but I'm just saying, and then two minds in greatness are alike, especially when they're in Christ. So it sounds like it's time for you to change some social things about yourself, different circle of friends, hold fast to your prayer group, definitely, and occupy some you time. Oftentimes, good therapy for people that have been abused, take on a project. I don't care if it's just painting your house or something. Occupy your time with something that you can start, fulfill, and complete. It'll give you a sense of accomplishment, and if conquerism is a word, it'll empower you, basically, and help you to grow stronger. You know, so definitely, you know, change those things and hold fast to God. You know, definitely hold fast to God, and you should be okay.
Okay. All right, good deal. So let's get to the second email question. I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ. It says, can someone please explain the scripture where it says, a righteous man will fall several times but get up?
A righteous man will fall several times but get up. If I can put it in layman's terms, a righteous man has a heart. And that heart is taken from God's own. A righteous man knows what to do and is not afraid to fall but get up. Once he falls, he won't be just down. You have to, if I can break it down a little further, you can't be afraid. You have to keep your eye on God. And it doesn't say that you're perfect, but you strive to be. You're not going to quit, and you're not going to test in your heart with defeat and things that you know will knock you off the path and keep you off the path.
Okay. Ms. Latanya, what about you?
I would have to say, just to piggyback off of what Mr. DJ was just saying, that even, you know, as we fall because of sin or whatever it was, we have to know that even when we fall down, we can go to God, you know, in repentance, and God is going to forgive us. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we are to continue in our sins or in our selfish ways, but really go before God, be open and transparent, and know that even as a righteous person, it says man, but that applies to both female and male, that, you know, God is going to forgive us, and he is going to cause us to be lifted, be elevated, and continue on. We're not to, like, you know, with the previous question with the abused woman, you know, stay down, you know, wallow in pity and things like that. So as believers, we have to know that we are victorious. You know, we're going to fall if that happens that way, but God is always going to be there to pick us up. He's always going to be there, But we have to be willing. We have to go before God, you know, and make those things known because he already knows, but he always wants us to be willing to come to him, to be open and transparent with him and know that even if we fall, it could be 7, 8, 9, or 10 times, we are going to rise from that. But we have to, you know, stand firm in our faith and believe that because a lot of times we don't believe, we don't even forgive ourselves. So, you know, it really begins with having an intimate relationship with God and knowing that once we do that, you know, God is going to you know, order our steps and be in control and allow us to rise up from whatever it is that we've been held bound to.
Mm-hmm. Good deal, good deal. Really good information, y'all. Let me add to this because this is good with this email question. You know, can someone explain the scripture where it says a righteous man will fall several times but get up? As we talked about building blocks versus stumbling blocks, to fall means to stumble. As scripture says in Proverbs 24 and 16, the Bible says, it says, for a just man falleth seven times. Let me read the NIV. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. Let me read another, the NLT version. The godly may trip seven times, Mr. DJ, but they will get up again, Ms. LaTanya. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. One disaster. Y'all, that's strong. We talk about building blocks versus stumbling blocks. That means wicked people is one time, you got one mistake, Mr. DJ, and I'm done with you. Y'all done heard that before?
Yes, sir.
Brand new on this phone.
Mm-hmm.
You got one time to make one mistake, and I'm done with you. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 24 and 16. Anybody have a scripture want to read it? Proverbs 24 and 16. Come on, y'all, we got to get interactive.
Okay, Proverbs 24 and 16. For a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in time of calamity.
Uh-huh. Can somebody look up calamity? This is the learning center.
Calamity is an event causing great and often sudden damage or distress.
So basically a tragedy, adversity,
yes, sir.
Tribulation, misfortune, calamity. So in other words, when things don't go your way, do you say, Lord, have mercy? And I just DJ and Miss LaTanya. Y'all see it?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime Mr. DJ goes somewhere and he's persistent, but Miss LaTanya go to that same place and say, well, it was closed. I ain't going back. Who's the righteous and who's the wicked?
Mm.
It's mighty funny when we really don't want something. All it takes is one thing to not go our way. Calamity, misfortune. We call it a disaster. I was married once before and I promise you I'd never get married again. Now you have created your own stumbling block.
Amen.
I know y'all quiet on this phone. I told y'all 504-231-7844. What is it? Mike Jones. What is that?
You up the number?
Yeah. Y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that's strong. So that means we can't be moping and groping around creating our own stumbling blocks. Just because Miss Tiana ain't act right, Mr. DJ telling me, talking about Mr. Carr, don't give up on it like that. Nine, one time, that's it, I'm done. You know, I don't give people three strikes. One strike, you're done. That is your stumbling block. It's so much of a stumbling block because y'all know the Bible says, you know, forgive your brother 7 times 70 per day. We done forgot that scripture. Okay? But we want people to forgive us 7 times 70 a day. Y'all can say amen if it's not a stumbling block. But if it's a stumbling block, don't say nothing.
Amen.
That's how you make it. Y'all see it, though? spiritually, because what happens is we have perpetuated bad behaviors of the world. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we start to create stumbling blocks, and we tell people our patience is thin. And we have low tolerance for BS. That's what we say, right?
Yes,
sir. But according to Proverbs, God just exposed that individual, because you have become a stumbling block not only for yourself, but for others. Because
yes.
That's when we turn back around, housing, harnessing, huddling, and we tell our children, don't you take nothing from nobody. Wow. Mm. Come on, Father, we tell our little girls, if he ain't doing right one time, don't you? But, Father, let me ask you this. With that little girl's mother, how many times you messed up? Keep that to yourself. That was a rhetorical question. And you love that lady because she didn't look at you as a stumbling block, but as a building block, because she saw in you what you didn't see in yourself. And she was patient with you because she's a righteous woman. So she said, he may fall 7 times, but I'm going to help him up. Father. Ain't that something?
Yes,
it is.
But I'm going to add another part of that question. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. LaTanya. So you heard that one. Can someone explain this? Okay. So let me add this one to that same question. Since the steps of a good man are hard. Since the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, I'm going to say it one more time. Since the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, are those who have your Bibles, that's Psalms 37 and 23. Why then do we stumble so often? Ms. LaTanya.
We stumble so often because we continue to take our eyes off of God. We continue to take our focus off of God. So we begin to conform to our own agenda. We have our way and God has his way. So a lot of times we think we can stray away from that and still fall in the category of the righteous man or the righteous person. And it doesn't work like that. So a lot of times, you know, we stumble, we fall, and then we turn back to God and we ask the question, why? A lot of times God is telling us, well, why not? Because you took your focus off of me, you strayed away from me. It wasn't the other way around. But we missed that somewhere in and throughout our sin and doing the things that we want to do, not denying ourselves, you know, things like that, that God tells us to do, he commands us to do. So it's not God's fault. It's actually a lot of times we get in our own way. We put ourselves in positions that eventually, you know, cause us to stumble and fall. And then we fall into the state of the hopelessness that we were just talking about. And we begin to have the pity parties and, you know, things like that. So it's because we've taken our focus off of what's important. And we have to learn how to redirect ourselves back to that place of righteousness.
Okay. All right. Mr. DJ, let me repeat that question. Since the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, why then do we stumble so often?
Well, this is just my opinion. It's not fact, and it's definitely not an excuse. I agree with Ms. LaTanya. It's a reason, but not an excuse. Most of us have stay in boat mentality. And our God is so awesome and so magnificent. When he shows us what he is, what he's about, what he's trying to do for us, that's when we be like, okay, I got it. We're that eager child that, like she said, that watches and pays attention, but we don't stay focused. You know, when he shows us part of the blessing, he may show us a job. And that job, if you stay on it, may pay out great dividends and blessings and a family and all of that. But we just so happy with the job, we start wanting to do things our way. And it goes way left of the blessings. So what am I saying? God is a walk on water God. He tells us all the time, come out, come to us. But we afraid. I can't swim. I can't do that. I'm going to stay in this boat. You can't walk on water if you have stay in boat mentality. So we have to get out of that. And like she says, stay focused on God. If we walk in Him and keep our eyes on Him and stay focused, everything will be all right. But what we often do is we get a little taste of the blessing, and oh yeah, okay, I got it. And it doesn't go quite that way. So that's the reason. Basically, our own demise. You know, when God gives us a rope, we ready to be a cowboy. You know, He gives us a ride, we ready to drive. You know, we don't stay and listen to the whole story. Stay focused on everything. You know, just like little children to Him. We're not staying due diligence in Him. You know, most of us until we get older, and get a little more wisdom. So I think that's the reason.
Check this out right quick. Check this out. Tell me if y'all remember this. Y'all know, you know where this comes from.
I've been down before.
I've told
him better than this.
Craig,
get up.
Get up,
Craig. Come on, Craig.
Oh,
y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Devo. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Friday.
Yep.
His daddy could have jumped in, but he didn't. Hold on. Building blocks versus stumbling blocks. His daddy could have jumped in, but he didn't. Why? You hear what his daddy say? I've been down before. Oh?
Yeah.
I don't think y'all catch this. See, when you really have an understanding, the Bible said, and all you're getting understanding. When you really have an understanding of things, you can parallel anything. Everything becomes the gospel. Y'all got to catch this now. In other words, everything becomes a building block. He said, I've been down before. Don't that sound like God saying, hold on, I done been down before, and I rose?
Yeah.
Who would tell you that no other than Jesus?
All right.
Huh? Your daddy saying, I done been down before. Anything that you done went through, DJ, I done been down before. I know what a stumbling block is, but I done been down before. In other words, I ordered your steps. And sometimes I let you fall so you can dig deep within. In other words, what your flesh can't handle, your spirit can.
All right.
Amen. Amen.
Hear me. A righteous man will fall several times but get up. That means something is on the inside telling them to get up, Craig. I done been down before. Huh? But when your flesh is involved, it becomes a stumbling block. Then part of the time you don't want to fight because you're afraid of losing. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, indeed. That's it.
There's some buttons out there. I know some people are scared to fight because they're afraid to lose. I'm talking about the natural fight. I'm talking about the spiritual fight because you're afraid of losing. You don't want to get knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? But when you're really a fighter, whether I get knocked out or not, I promise you one thing, there's going to be two people knocked out there.
Yes.
The double knockout, Mr. DJ.
Right.
Tell me. See, what I'm saying is, Satan uses our flesh to create stumbling blocks. Because then that's when we start saying, in Craig's situation, I'm tired of getting hit on. I'm embarrassed. Huh? Why then, the Lord ordered my steps. Why then have I come to this point of falling? Well, any good parent know that even when you take a child off the training wheels, you let them fall sometimes because they see in order to ride good, you got to know what a fall feel like.
Yes, that's right.
You can't appreciate, Mr. DJ, the sunny days if you have never experienced rainy ones.
Amen.
It's according to God's purpose that He builds on something. In other words, to have building blocks, you must first have a clean surface. To have a clean surface must mean I must first rid you of pride. To rid you of pride, I must cause you to fall so you don't think that you God.
Right.
Did y'all catch that correlation?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
If Mr. DJ never fall, Miss Latanya never fall. Mr. Carter never fall. Miss Tiana never fail. Whew. Y'all couldn't tell us nothing.
Come on, that's right.
We can play that game and be holier than thou on this phone tonight if we want to play it. And talking about, nah, I still would recognize God. Okay.
Come on.
Okay. That's not the case. God purposely orders our steps of a righteous person, the righteous man and woman. He orders our steps. But along those things, we experience falls. But he said a good man will get up. What empowers him to get up? Something on the inside. When the flesh is weak, let's fail. Our flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Something on the inside is telling us to get up, Craig.
Yes, sir.
But in order to build on something, I must first have it totally demolished. This is why the Bible said, crucify your flesh on a daily. In other words, demolish your flesh on a daily basis so I can have a clean surface to where I can build upon you.
Okay.
That's profound, people.
Yes, it is.
Is that not good? But Tiana, did you have an email question?
I did, but I lost it on my page, but I do have a caller that does have a question. And
oh, come on, let's get it. Here's
all
the
right.
Next email question. What we got?
Good evening, caller. Please share your question.
Good evening. The question that I have is this. It says, I've attempted to accomplish a goal that will impact my life in such a great way. However, I failed at it 8 times thus far. How can I use these failures as building blocks to move forward, especially when I'm beginning to lose hope?
Mr. Tanya, I'm going to start with you.
I would say just to take a step back into, you said 8 times. We just talked about it, you know, falling and then getting back up. But also just to really, I guess, take a step back, evaluate the situation and see if it's something that you really want to continue to go after. Is it something that you're really truly passionate about? And again, that requires seeking out God, because ultimately he will be the one, we just talked about ordering our steps to direct us on the path that we should be going, because it could very well be something that maybe God is, you know, showing you that you need to take a different direction. But it could also be a matter of being persistent. I do know someone that it probably wasn't 8 times, but they applied to, I think it's either was nursing school, some type of higher education, and there was several times of applying, being denied, and then eventually, you know, being accepted. But it was a matter of how bad that person wanted it, but also whether or not they were walking in the purpose that God has for them. So you could be going in a totally different direction than what God is calling you to go. So that's important that you take a minute to just step back and really see God about, you know, is this the direction that he wants you to go in? And it could be, but it could also not be. So that's something that will be determined by him, but also, you know, seeking him out. So that's what I would say to that question.
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you have?
Well, I would say I totally agree. But I would just like to add to it. Sometimes you can't blame things on the devil. You can't blame things on God. Sometimes you have to look at yourself and take a self-assessment of what's going on. Sometimes God lays the path for you, and you go off because you're trying to do what you want to do and do it your way. So with that, you definitely need to change your surroundings, redirect your focus, but spend some time with yourself and find out, is this for you? Is this what you're doing? Like she said, are you serious about it? You in school, and I had a partner of mine in school, took physics 101 5 times. I was a freshman, got in there, and I passed it right off. And he had to realize, hey, man, you ain't serious. It took him 12 years to finish Southern University, but he did it. And he'll tell you now, when he first got there, he didn't realize that, oh, yeah, I'm in college. I'm in a higher education place. He got there and got involved in the college life of everything that has nothing to do with your degree. You know, you can want something so badly, but you may not be prepared. When you move out your mama house, your first little taste of independence, you don't go to a mansion. Most of us don't move from your mama house to your first house. You get an apartment first. You take steps and be prepared. When you get your first car, when you get your driver's license, rather, you don't just time you get 16 and now you're driving a Lamborghini. You don't go into that. You don't get a Bentley. You don't get a car. You think back to when you first got your first driver's license. And nobody go and buy you an expensive brand new car. It wasn't time yet. And you have to have some patience. And like she said, I don't want to say you want it bad enough. Are you duly prepared?
Mm-hmm.
Are you duly prepared for this? You know, whatever it is, education, it could be a weight loss goal. I know plenty of people that had several million diets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have these diets, you go to a trainer. If I go to Mr. Carr and say, hey, I need to look like you. I want to have all these muscles and all of this, but yet I got Kit Kat and Twizzlers and Snickers in my back pocket, and every day I'm eating fast food. He's going to probably look, you know what, bro, I can't even take your money like that. You know, you need to come back when you're serious, when you're ready. There's some things that Mr. Carr can train me on doing right there, but what's going to happen when he turns his back? What's going to happen when I'm at home? You know, am I going to sneak and get the big potato chips like I like? Or am I going to stick to the diet that he's trying to tell me to do? So what I'm saying is we need some self-evaluation, too, to find out what's going on and what's wrong. God will line the answers up for you. Are you serious enough to listen, to look and listen? Like you said, crucify that flesh daily. Some of us have been carrying stuff for years, yet alone, day to day.
Mm-hmm.
You still mad because your ex done married somebody else or because he chose someone else over you, and you bring that over to your new stuff. And it's not only affecting your new relationship, it's affecting your daily friendships as a coworker. That's why people can't stand you, because you got a bad attitude. You keep bringing all that in. You got to get rid of all of that, you know, and do a little self-exam there, you know. Lord, I don't have the answers, but please give me the power to listen, and make me be an example as to what to do or not, or give me the power and understanding and wisdom to know or say, I don't know. You know, we often ask for certain things, but are you prepared for the job or for the blessing? You know, that's all I'm saying.
All right, now.
Okay.
Getting warm over here, Miss LaTanya. I'm going to sip on my tea and stay out of there. Okay. We got some. Ask a question.
Yeah, we do have another caller with another question, Mr. Carr.
What we got?
All right. Good evening, caller. What's your question for the evening?
Yes, my question is, should sinners consider themselves building blocks?
Can you repeat that, please?
Yes. Should sinners consider themselves building blocks?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
Well, the way I look at that, for one, if you're a sinner, you're lost. I don't think that they need to share any other wisdom on building blocks, so I'm going to say no. Now, Christians can consider sinners building blocks, yes, definitely. But they shouldn't consider themselves building blocks, no. They need help. They need to get right, you know. So I'm going to say no.
All right. Ms. LaTanya, what you got?
Okay. I would have to agree. And what I was going to add to that is I wouldn't say that they should consider themselves building blocks, but if this makes sense, they can be considered as a building
a building block because it just depends on the situation that the center is in and how it could be affecting another person's life. So that center could very well be a part of, it could be your sister, your mom, whomever that's in your life that's sinning or doing something that's not of God, but that's actually, God is using that person in their situation to actually be a building block for you to get you to the next level because we talked about it a lot, how we go through things, it's not for us. And things happen a lot of times. We don't understand it, but God is using it, you know, for our specific purpose and plan. So I would say no, I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, a sinner considering themselves, but they can be considered as a building block, if that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Carla, did that help you out?
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
Participating. All righty. Let's get to the next one. Email question. Here we go. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. LaTanya. It says, my wife wants to give up sex for Lent. Is that a stumbling block?
I would have to say yes, because I don't know that would be something that, God would tell her to do. And, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, that's something that shouldn't be taken out of a marriage, you know, a marriage that, you know, God brought together. And even if he didn't bring it together, once you're in that marriage, you know, God has certain expectations, you know, sex being one of them for the spouse, the partner, the other party. So I would have to say that's not, I don't know that, you know, that's God-driven or spirit-led, if you will, to give that up for Lent, because that's giving that up to the other person, the other party, that's a long time, you know, to say versus, oh, I'm just not going to do it, you know, for a couple of days or for a week or whatever, but giving it up, you know, for that period of time. And then you have to, I guess, have that conversation, like, why are you giving it up? Why would you want to deprive your spouse, your other half, of, you know, why would you want to deprive them of that? So, yeah, that's something that you really, you know, a conversation that needs to be had, you know, discussed and, you know, everything laid out on the table. Like, why do you want to deprive me of this in the first place?
So. I got you. Mr. DJ, what you got?
I say yes, it is a stumbling block. For one, you used the word spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Spouse means that you're married to someone and it considers both of you all. If the two of you all agree to give up sex, then sure, go ahead. Otherwise, no.
Mm.
It's just a stumbling block because it's going to cause some issues. And you all are not walking in agreement. So if the two of you are in agreement, then yes, it's fine. It's fine.
Uh-oh.
Otherwise, it will definitely be a stumbling block because one person is going to be like, well, why are you doing that? You know, or one person is not really feeling that. So, yes, I think it depends on where you are in your relationship. And not just that, your relationship with God. What's the point? What is that going to do? If you're married and you're having sex all the time, are you saying, we're having too much sex, we don't go to church, and we don't pray, and we don't, of course, by all means, you need to, yes, do that for Lent. But if it's just because we're doing this and doing that, and you're a couple, you're ordained by God, no. Go ahead and enjoy each other.
Mm-hmm.
Be an example.
You got an example, Mr. DJ?
I'm saying be the example.
Example, okay.
Of what couples are supposed to do. You know, you're married and you love each other. You know, be a family. You know, you all, that's what you're supposed to do as opposed to the people doing it the other way around.
Right.
See, it's easy to say, to me, it's easy to say that with a couple that's married because that's what God ordained. But you got some people having sex that's not married. And, you know, they have actually more sex than people that are married.
All right. Anybody else want to chime in out there? The question was, my wife wants to give up sex for Lent. Is that a stumbling block? Because I know people do different things for Lent to give up and, you know, to honor God. But one of the points that Mr. DJ made very vividly is that it has to be an agreement. It has to be an agreement, people. And those things can be a stumbling block. In other words, we're married to God. So if ever we do something outside of the scope of God, that's a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
If God said not to and you say, yes, I will, that's a stumbling block. You know? For instance, I know this is a tricky one, and I don't want to confuse nobody no more than what we already are. But when you see homeless folks, people out on the streets, do you or do you not give them money? Can it be a stumbling block or can it be a building mm-hmm. block?
All right.
That's a tough one, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough. Now, most of us lean, or some of us lean towards, because I know what they do. And some of us lean towards, no, I'm going to, you know, get my blessings.
mm-hmm.
You know? That's what we do. I'm telling you, one point, case in point, building blocks versus stumbling blocks. Case in point, I was at the gas station one night, and a guy came up and he said he wanted something to eat. He was, could I give him some money? I said, no, I'll take you in the store to get you some food. He said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy at the other gas station just blurted out to him. I said, what you say? He said, the other pump. He said, nah, that's between you and him. Don't worry about it. I said, nah, what you said? He said, man, I just gave that guy some money. He back over here hustling. I looked at the old boy and said, have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It became a hustle. So yep. I could have very well been a stumbling block to him. And you do know, understand, that we can be in God and be a stumbling block without knowing it. We just talked about it.
Yes.
The righteous man, that's ordered by the Lord. But we can still fall. Because we could have did something with great purpose. But we could be somebody's stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen.
Just because you have the word of God in you, Mr. DJ, Miss Tiana may be far from the word of God. That don't mean that you say, come here, baby. God told me to tell you and bless and highly favored, blah, 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 blah. Do you not understand that can be a stumbling block? Because now she can learn from your behaviors, the mannerism, the bells and whistles to Christianity, but not the power.
That's right.
That's a stumbling block. Y'all think I'm lying? How many people do you know offhand? Just think about it. Just think about it. You can include yourself if you want to. But go through the motions of church, but have no power. So what has been your stumbling block that you actually go through the motions, that you got the mannerism down? Where did you learn that from? Where did you learn how to play the role of Christian and not actually be one? I know this gets deep. Because if you are Christian Christ-like, why then don't you possess the same power that he has? I mean, by all rights, y'all can be, you know, by all rights, this is a Monday Night Raw, open conversation, dialogue. He clearly tells us to do greater works than he did. Uh-oh.
Yes, he does.
Now, if he told us to do greater works than he did, that means we have resources that he don't have, but we should have the same power that he had. Uh-oh.
Yes.
I don't think y'all hear me. The reason why you should want your children, building blocks, to be better than we are versus stumbling blocks is because you instill in them the foundation. But you got to understand in the year 2030, they can have way more technology than we had in 1999.
Yes, indeed. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think God first saw that already?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? So my question was, people, I need a caller to call in, not Mr. DJ or Mr. Latonya. Y'all want to get some active hands out there. Come on, Ms. Artita, Ms. Brandy. Y'all, don't be quiet now. Don't be just sitting in the pews, sitting on your hands now. Call in, star 504-231-7849 or something. How is it? Okay? What is it that caused, you know, us to stumble? Well, we play the role of Christian, but don't actually have the power of a Christian. Because what sense, I don't need y'all, I need y'all to hit me and hit me clearly, building blocks versus stumble. What sense does it make for us to call DJ the vice president of the company, but Mr. DJ don't have no power? He can't do nothing. He got a title with no power. Somebody tricked you, DJ.
That's right.
Y'all, we've called those people and referenced them as Uncle Tom's, you know, a token. You just have a position, but you don't have no power. So if that's the case in the business world, building blocks versus stumbling blocks, who has called you to stumble to where you're okay with wearing a title without power? Don't you know it's power to be called a Christian? It's so much power to be called a Christian that you got to prove it.
Hmm. My Lord. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can't prove it, why then do you call yourself a boss when you know you're not one?
Amen.
Hmm? So something has caused you to stumble. Something said it's okay with just wearing the attire of Christian, but not actually be one. Because what we say, you don't know me, you can't judge me, only God can judge me. But my thing is, even in the natural, why don't you have power, Christian? You go to church every Sunday. You go to Bible study. You call in. You get all his word. You post stuff on your page. You say amen about God. You post a scripture. Hmm? You quote people. But where is your power? You lack power. Why then are you playing the role? Who was a stumbling block in your life that said it was okay for you to look like it and not have it?
Yeah, Mr. Carter, can I share something?
Yeah, please.
And I guess this is a stab at an answer as well, but we're afraid of the wrong stuff. We glamour the outward man, and we don't pay attention to the inward man. The inward man, I'm talking about females too, the inward man is weak. It's all about the big giant shell of the outward man. If you got a tire, my car right now, I have a small sports car, 1983 Volkswagen Rabbit GTI, 13-inch tires. Every time I go to the tire shop, they always ask me, why am I still riding around with these little bitty tires? Why don't you go big? The big boys are going big. The new cars have these big 17s and 22s and 32s. That's not me. First of all, I got sense enough to know it's the wheel in the middle of the wheel what counts. You can have the bigger tires all day long, but why are you paying, you know, $500 each for them? I can get all four of mine for $100. And they ain't going to be there no quicker than what you're getting at. So when you deal with Christ, just put yourself back in those days. You can go back right now. We were walking down the alleyway, and you saw someone dressed like Christ, and then you saw someone look bigger than Rick Ross. You're going to be afraid of the Rick Ross-looking brother. That's not the one you need to fear.
Mm-hmm.
See, we often, street credit gets us in all kinds of trouble. And we often judge by size of things. Look at David and Goliath. You cannot tell me that when David jumped out and said he'll fight Goliath, that the whole army probably didn't just fall out laughing. According to the Bible, he couldn't even put the armor and suits and stuff on to even fight. He couldn't fit it. It was too small. But that one little bitty person brought Goliath down, hands on, wasn't no straggling. That joker came down. Goliath was a mammoth human being, big, but it didn't take but one David. So what am I saying? What I'm saying is until we get out of the mentality that doing what's righteous is lame, you know, that's square. That's not what you're supposed to do. We glamorize what we're not supposed to do, the street cred. Oh, he's a bad joker, him. He don't have no education. He don't go to class. He get off the school bus with no books. That's how bad he is. See, where I'm from, that means you're not bad. That means you're dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have no books. That means you're probably in some classes where you're going to be in that same room all day. Something wrong with you. And I often tell the younger kids, don't glamorize stupidity because it breeds ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to uplift God's word and his people. Those are the people who you need to, quote, unquote, admire. You just look at and see how many, and I'm not trying to talk about nobody sideways, but we have had president that's the richest president ever before he even got to be the president. But look at some of the ones in the past. Frankly, let's go to the one right before him. They couldn't find nothing to scandal or anything on him. Now the roles are reversed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we worry about the wrong, you know, we worry about the wrong things and glamorize the wrong stuff when it comes to us in our circles. And that's what the true stumbling block is. We'll be our own stumbling block. Well, you know what? I'm not hard enough. Says who? Who you got to go against to prove to yourself? Ain't that crazy? You don't think yourself. You're not gangster enough. Well, why are you even glamorizing a gangster?
Right.
You know, why do we do that? If there's a song, and I don't know who the rapper is. He said, if you're afraid, go to church. That's not the reason why you go to church.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was the dumbest thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is, y'all. And that was some excellent pointers, Mr. DJ. We're talking about building blocks versus stumbling blocks, y'all. And that's excellent because he even said about the wheels, something about those wheels. Y'all, anybody who got rims out there, y'all know what I'm talking about? You get them smaller tires, right? Because you want the wheel to get pretty. But see, the thing about it is just like Christianity, building blocks versus stumbling blocks. It looked pretty, but do you understand you can't travel too far on them on rims like that? Without them tires busting? Oh,
can't make no sharp turns either.
Can't make no sharp turns. And to add on to that, they actually look good, but it's a rough ride.
Yeah.
You feel every bump in the road. In other words, it makes no sense for us to look like a Christian, and you know everything flipped upside down in your life. No building blocks.
Can I ask that, Mr. Carr?
Yes, ma'am.
So, sadly, we live in a society of where it's okay to walk in, fake it till you make it. And in that, we put on this exterior, this belief, this thing that, okay, I'm going to be whomever so-and-so wants me to be. I'm going to show that person what it is they want to see. And all up on the inside, we ain't nothing right. Everything. There's jealousy, there's fear, there's anger, there's all these other things that you can't see going on and not being addressed because we're in a society of wanting to look good for someone else. When in reality, we need to be focused on being patient, kind, not jealous, not boastful, not rude, and walking in the definition of love, just what we addressed last night. So what is causing those stumble blocks in our lives? It's faking it till we're making it and being whom everybody else wants us to be and not who God has called us to be. We also have a caller who wants to chime in on that inquiry as well. Mr. Carr. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yes, the only thing I want to say, like when Mr. Carr was saying, who in your life has been your stumbling block? I guess with my family, we was going to church. I grew up Lutheran, but they were just going. My parents was just going, wasn't getting anything out of it. And that just carried on into my young adulthood and my adulthood until I started seeking. And this message has been real good for me with the stumbling blocks and building blocks because I have been my own stumbling block in a whole lot of ways. So that's all I want to say.
Okay. But you, now, with that being said, you take that and you don't get into sulking where you're throwing a pity party. You take that and you run with it because you identified that you have or you used to be your own stumbling block. We don't use that past tense, but no longer because, see, the thing is what the devil meant for your downfall, God meant for good. Now, reverse that in the same token. See, if Satan had a Bible, building blocks versus stumbling block, his Bible would be one called stumbling blocks. Okay, so his Bible would totally go against what God says. So since God says, you know, what Satan meant for your downfall as a stumble, I meant to build you up. Satan would say, well, what God meant to build you up, I meant to tear you down.
That's right.
Okay.
In other words, he'll have you repeating, I have been my own stumbling block, to the point that you don't trust yourself no more. I'm talking about trust the God in you. Because, see, it's going to take you to understand you put me second. So it's going to take you to hear that inner voice and say, hold on, God has to come first. Nobody else can tell you that. People can tell you, but you still don't have to listen. It's going to take you to decide that. But Satan wants you to not believe in anything that you have to say. So he's going to keep on bringing this back to you. You've been to something back in your past. Don't listen to yourself. And that's a lie.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. Because like you said, you know, still Satan brings things up from your past. That little, that voice speaking to you, and that's what has been happening. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's caused you to doubt yourself so good. So it's a building block, okay? So God gave it to you. Use it for the right thing. Because, see, my thing is don't throw away those old tennis shoes talking about, you know, that's demonic field shoes and, you know, it was a Jordans. No, you can take them same Jordans and use them for good. I mean, didn't Jesus, God, take same old us and use us for good?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Y'all hear me?
Yes,
sir.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite in the Bible is Peter. I mean, you know, Paul. I'm sorry, Paul. When he was Saul, just changed the name. Same person. So if you have the power, y'all got to understand this. Look at the building block versus stumbling block. The same power that you have that destroyed is actually the power that God gave you to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? Come on, people. Those people who love sex out there, that's a beautiful thing. Just lining up with God because you got a whole bunch of loving you. You are a hands-on type of person. I'm trying to tell y'all something. Come on. Those people who love money out there, line it up with God's purpose. Stop chasing it, but allow it to chase you, but disperse it where it needs to be dispersed. Perhaps God called you in the business arena. You love it so much, he's going to show you how to teach others how to do it the right way, but also give that tenth, the first tenth.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Satan can't create nothing. He couldn't even create himself. In other words, Satan didn't create sin. How can Satan create sin when God created Satan? Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That can get a little deep there. That means God created sin, but it's also the thorn, sin, thorn, thorn, sin. You actually create, huh, a little something, something to see if the real is going to be really for you.
Yes. Amen.
So we just thought that Satan created sin, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my, my, my. Satan don't have the power to create nothing.
Not a thing.
You might not want to accept that process, but this is the building block. When you know he don't have the power to even create sin, that means God uses sin for our good? Oh, my goodness. Boy, you should be on a high horse right now.
Yes,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Use a sin for my good?
Mm-hmm.
What else would we know? What else would separate us from him? How else would we know that God is disappointed with us had he not created sin?
All right.
That's right.
I'm trying to ask somebody something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a caller that raised their hand off of that, Mr. Carr.
Come on, what we got?
All right. Good evening, caller.
Good evening. I just wanted to add to something, Mr. Carr. One of the things that that causes us a problem is that we don't understand that our foundation is already laid. We're constantly trying to lay our own foundation and follow that, but God has already laid the foundation for us. If we would just follow the plan and build on that foundation and choose the right building tools that he's actually already given us as well, then we can actually overcome those building blocks, those stumbling blocks.
So you mean to tell me the people that God laced in our life, it was already ordained that I was going to have this old crazy uncle, this crazy aunt. It was already ordained we was going to have, you know, some parents that we couldn't get. It was already ordained that we wasn't going to be so studious as children in bed. It was already ordained, so there shouldn't be a stumbling block. That's what you're telling me?
It should be used as a building block because God has already, he already has ordered our steps, and he knows the path that we're going to take already. So he's already placed those things there to see if you have faith in him to use that as a building block.
Ain't that something, people?
Yes.
Ain't that something, people? See, in other words, stop always trying to build, Mr. DJ, listen to this. Stop trying to build your house. When you just repeated this past week that the Bible says that if I take care of his house, he'll take care of mine. So that means if I build on his, who is God's house? Why should I build on his house? He got the perfect house. He's talking about his people around.
All right.
Y'all, even in the world, they say, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. In other words, I don't want to be a stumbling block. So if the world got that jargon down, what's wrong with Christianity?
Right.
Why do we so quickly call people demons? We don't call them demons like God, you know. We'll say, boy, look at that lying demon. But we're talking about people. We ain't talking about the spirit within. When Jesus said, Satan, get behind me, he was talking directly to Satan, who was trying to use or who was using Peter. Building blocks, people. That mean a lot of things that we encounter, God allowed us to cross that path for a reason. Now, whether you realize it or not, every day you will be somebody's building block or you will be their stumbling block. Every day.
Come on.
That's right.
Every day, Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ got that Piata. What that is you say you got? That car?
GTI. Volkswagen.
GTI. Yeah. It's still, even with that, Mr. DJ, a building block or a stumbling block?
That's right.
Period. He can mope. The Bible says do everything, do not murmur and complain. You can be somebody's stumbling block by all your complaining. And you talking about I just want a listening ear. You're a stumbling block.
Yes.
You're a stumbling block. You know that person who always call you, they only call you with confusion? You already know the number. That's why you have a different ringtone. You already know.
Amen.
Yep. That's right.
Are the ones who not saying amen, you that person?
Oh, love it.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the thing. Every time you encounter someone, you will be a building block or you will be a stumbling block. If you are new, still a stumbling block. Because nothing in God says stagnation.
Amen.
That's right.
Y'all follow? Good.
Yeah.
All right. This scripture right quick. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This is good for building block versus stumbling block. Look what the Bible says. But mark this. Write it down. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Y'all, ask yourself if this is true. Now, don't ask yourself if it's true outwardly. Look at yourself. Don't look at nobody else now. People will be lovers of themselves. Are you lovers of yourself? Okay. People will be lovers of money. Do you love money? Okay. People will be boastful. Are you boastful? Now, you know boasting don't have nothing to do with how loud you are. Boasting can be with how much you want to be seen. Okay, hold on. People will be proud. Anybody proud out there? Oh, my baby. I'm so proud of my baby. Well, Mr. Carr, he ain't mean that kind of proud. You tell me what proud he meant then. Well, I got to tell the truth. If you're going to tell it all. It's okay to be proud of people. Says who? Tell me, show me what God ever proud of you. Show me one time he said he's proud of you. Come on, Bible scholars. I'm going to wait on this one. He would never say he's proud of you, because when you get there, he's been waiting. God has higher expectation than you just graduating college. Oh, my God. I don't think y'all hear me. Okay.
Come on.
Let me go ahead. Let me go ahead. People will be ungrateful. You ungrateful? Huh? We complain about a whole bunch of stuff. Complaining is a form of being ungrateful, people. It's a form of being ungrateful. Because you're saying, God, you could have gave me more. Oh, my God.
Yes.
People will be abusive. Are you abusive with your power? See, we think that abuse is just naturally somebody putting hands on. What about your words? What about the thought patterns? Are you abusive? Do you abuse yourself? Do you keep on putting yourself down? Are you a stumbling block to yourself? People will be disobedient to their parents. You're disobedient to your parents? What about to God? He your daddy. Okay. People will be unholy. In other words, we're not set apart. We blend in with the crowd. Holy means to be set apart. Unholy means to not be set apart. That means we look like they look, talk how they talk, think how they think. That sound like you? People will be without love. Ooh, are we void of love? I ain't talking about the people that you love. I'm talking about the people that God told you to love. And that's everybody. Are you void of love? Because forgiveness comes with that, don't it?
Yes,
okay. Sir. People will be unforgiving. Does that sound like you? People will be slanderous. They said Mr. DJ was no good. That's slander. But what if it's true? It's slander. Because it ain't true. If God ain't call it true, how true is it? Oh, I'm sorry. God can't be your God since you actually validating the world's point of view of Mr. DJ and not God's. People will be without self-control. Anybody on this phone don't have no self-control? People will be brutal, Mr. DJ. Brutal. I got to speak my mind. I'm going to tell you what I got to say. Brutal.
That's right.
Ain't nothing wrong with speaking your mind, Mr. Carr. Tell that to God, yeah? People, not lovers, they would not be lovers of the good. They would be treacherous, rash, conceited. People would be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. Ain't nothing wrong with a little social drinking. I know I done just stepped on about 20 toes. Pleasure rather than God. But Mr. Carr, hold on, in the Bible they say they drunk wine. That wine was like tang Kool-Aid.
Great juice.
Back in the biblical days, you don't drink to uplift God. You drink to ease your mind. In other words, God, I need something other than you because you ain't easing it. I need a little sippity sip of yakety yak to be sociable. Wow. And that's supposed to be a building block? Okay. They would have a form of godliness, In other words, to have a form of something that look like the big bad wolf. Y'all know them little snakes that don't actually bite, but they hiss, but they do that as a ploy. They have a form of godliness. You know that dog that always just bark up until you get to that fence and just run off. They have a form of godliness. Oh, my goodness. This is what the Bible said. But deny its power. They got a loud bark, but no bite. They always saying, but God is my master. They always saying, I owe everything to God. See, they got the lingo down. They got the verbiage down. But where's the power? They think that money is power because the more successful they are, the more they think that God is touching them. But do you not understand a building block versus stumbling block? That God clearly said he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. That means you can be unjust in God and still have many tangible items.
Amen.
Yes.
People say, I'm confused now. I don't know what to believe, huh? Then the Bible goes on to say, Mr. DJ, Ms. Latonya, Ms. Tiana, Ms. Artita, have nothing to do with such people. That means if you are that person, get rid of your old ways. Have nothing to do with your old self. Don't let your old self be a stumbling block. And reverse everything that God said in that. Reverse it for your good. Build upon it. That means love on people. Don't abuse people. Love God more than anything. If you're going to boast in God, never be proud of anything. Why should I be proud of anything? I'm not proud. I'm just happy when God fulfills his plan. Why should I be proud? Pride is a form of me setting a standard for you. And DJ, I'm proud of you. But I thought God come first, so why should I let my standard make me say something that God never said to you? But we've been taught different ways. And it's been stumbling blocks. You got spiritual leaders that say, I'm proud of you. And God would never, I cringe when I hear that. Mr. Carwell, you just hard on people. No. Show me what Jesus ever said to one of his disciples that he was proud of them. Show me in the Bible. Well, that's Jesus, not us. But I thought you were supposed to be Christ-like. In other words, when you get proud of something, proud and pride are derivatives of each other, correct? Good. I'm glad y'all know that. That means it's all about how you see them, not how God sees them. Well, that's an accomplishment. According to who? Don't you know some people can't handle success? So why would I tell my daughter I'm proud that you graduated high school? My thing is I'm preparing you for college in the world. Don't you know some people can't handle success? Y'all see when momentum turns in the football, basketball games? Because the other team was up so big, you know what happened? Somebody was patting each other on the back. They was proud of the lead. And that's when Satan slide on in, don't he?
That's right.
One of the easiest ways, building blocks versus stumbling blocks, to get somebody off their high horse is to lift them up and let them be proud of themselves. That's where flattery comes into play. Miss Tiana?
Yes.
That's when people start telling you, Miss Latonya, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful, you're so beautiful. I'm so proud of you. People tell you they're proud of you so that you don't progress and go harder. That's a tactic by Satan to say, I'm proud of you. Because then you get in a place where you're comfortable. I got my mom. That's all I wanted to see was make her proud of me. But what about God?
That's right.
You're comfortable. And y'all know when somebody tell you they're proud, what you do is you too look back on what they're proud of. That means you're looking back and not forward. I like when people tell me you ain't about nothing. Good. Keep it that way. Even if you pat me on the back, say, I'm good. He good at what he do. No, I ain't. I don't believe none of that. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm not the one who gave the gift. You giving it to the wrong person. Satan.
Mr. Carpenter.
Yeah, what you got, Mr. DJ?
When, as a kid, and I don't know if any other person can relate to this, but as a kid, my parents bought me a whole bunch of Legos. And my parents would tell me, if you play with them, put them back up. But if you were truly a person that played with Legos, you couldn't really just put them back up. Why not? Well, most of the time when you walk around your house, you don't have on your tennis shoes. If you go in that room or living room or wherever you got those Legos spread it out, those things will hurt. It'll hurt your foot. You'll stumble. But now, long as I'm sitting down there, long as I'm not walking and trying to do things and let go of those blocks, I'm not hurt. Most of the time, I'm sitting down building. When you build them, that's when you make great masterpieces. What am I saying? God puts Legos in our life. He's the chief builder.
That's right.
So if you sit down and deal with the pieces that he gives you, you can actually make something. Only thing you got to do is not give up. You'll enjoy it. Or you can sit there and keep trying to walk around it and not deal with it. You'll stomp your toe. It'll be a stumbling block.
It'll cause you frustration.
There you go.
That's all.
There it is, y'all. That's what it is. Building blocks versus stumbling blocks. I do appreciate y'all calling in. Miss Tiana, I think you had a reminder that it was our
six-year anniversary today.
Today made 6 years for Sunday morning breakfast. Okay? Good
okay.
deal.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
But we grinding. We grinding. Because it don't stop.
All right.
Okay.
Won't stop.
Yeah, we got a lot going on for God, and we're going to keep on doing a lot for God. And I ain't talking about we're going to be over here in Atlanta. I'm talking about we got a lot going on for God with our daily lives. That is the ministry. Each and every last one of us on this. All right, let us go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
Yes, bow your heads. Father, thank you for bringing us together again to come together and dwell and worship you in your word and understanding, Father. Thank you and continue to bless us and keep us on the path that something said, Father, that will help us. Help us not for any kind of credit, but to go out and show the world and tell the world it's all about you, to bring them closer to you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for just being you. Thank you for waking us up and for us being able to operate on our own, Father. Thank you for giving us the power of listening and understanding, and the wisdom of how to use it and guide us. Bring us back together, Father, on the same band of Christian love and Christian fellowship. In your name, we pray, amen.
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 I have a great night. Make sure you go to SundayMorningBreakfast.org, and we will have Bible study this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Y'all have a great night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.